Hi there. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living, and I'm glad to be with you today. I want to open the doors for singles to talk about dating. What's the number one rule? You're a single person. If you date, what's the number one rule that you have for yourself? And maybe you can confess some and say, I violated it. And what have you learned? Rules for dating for singles. Are there such things today? 888-1717. This is your time, singles. I'm Randy Carlson. Let's talk. The doors are open for you.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. We're at the phones ready for you at 1-888-1717. That's 1-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you much. Welcome to the program. Let me say this. It's been a long time since I dated. I've been married over 40 years to my wife, Donna, but I've also worked with a lot of people in these 40 years, a lot of single people. And this is what I hear. Thought he was a Christian. I met him in church. I mean, I know he'd been married four times, but I thought five would be okay. You know, I thought he'd work through his problems. Come on now. You all know what I'm talking about. So what is it? What have you learned? I mean, what would you share with us? What would you share with singles today from your experience? The rules that you violated, things you've learned, what God's taught you. I can just tell you from years and years of working with people, just because someone says Christian in front of their name, it doesn't necessarily mean everything is going to be really good here. And I know that's what you're going to call. Make sure you're dating with a Christian. You're dating a Christian. You're with a Christian. But I'll tell you what, there's sometimes everything that glitters isn't gold when it comes to this. And certainly that's a standard. You know, the Bible says we're not to be unequally yoked together. Don't be with a person that doesn't share your faith and your values and your beliefs. Some of you probably really have learned to back off in this area, really gun-shy, as it were. But what's a rule for singles? What's something you've learned, something you'd share, something you have, you would just say, hey, here's what really has worked. This is what God has taught me. Should we even be out pursuing that? I mean, or waiting? Do you wait? 888-1717 is my number. We got the lines open, and we're going to hold them first off for singles who will call and share and tell us your story, or maybe recently you were single and you've learned some lessons as you look back. And we'd love to have you join in and be a part of the program today. This is the Intentional Living Center, where we're all about one thing, and that is getting serious about, not about ourselves, but about the way we live, knowing that the reality is those of us who choose to live an intentional life, knowing what God's intention is in areas of finance and health and relationships and marriage, and in this case, dating and so on, and you understand what God's intentions are and you live those, I'm telling you, your life is going to be better off. You're going to be a happier camper. Things are going to turn out better for you because that's God's intention. Okay? You never hear me say perfect, however. 888-1717 is my number. Lines are busy. Singles, one rule. What have you learned? You ready? Let's do it.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I really enjoy your program. I've been dating a guy for about 8 months now, and I kind of feel like I'm carrying all the weight in the relationship. I feel like I'm the giver, and he's kind of the taker. I pay for a lot of our dates. I end up picking him up a lot of times. And it's not that I really mind it because I care about him, but I'm beginning to resent it and feel like maybe he doesn't care enough about me to pursue me or, you know, spend money on me, court me. He's not a believer, so I'm kind of dealing with that. But I don't know exactly what to do. I don't know if I should just cut off the relationship. I don't know if I should talk to him and kind of let him know how I'm feeling. I'm really confused. I would appreciate any advice you could give. Thank you.
Yeah, bottom line is when emotions in your head get going here and they go back and forth, You know, you hear the world say, go with your heart. Just go with your heart. Yeah, that sometimes works, but sometimes your heart can get you in big trouble. And if you've got issues, you've got concerns, you've got things that need to be communicated, if you've got things that are, you know, out of whack, it's much better to get the proverbial cards face up on the table there and say, look, this is reality. This is what I'm experiencing. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm observing. And let's talk about it. It's a whole lot better to deal with things early on than later on. Here's what I've learned over all the years of my life. And I can't tell you the number of times I wanted to turn around, kick myself on my own backside if I could reach it. When I sense something's off, not in dating, but just in life, I'll go back and say, I just knew something wasn't quite right there. Or I just sensed that maybe my spirit was kind of indicating that perhaps, you know, whatever that was not going the right direction. Instead of just acknowledging it, dealing with it, you can, oh, it can't be that. That person's not like that, or that situation's not like that. And then later you look back and say, you know, I should have stopped and prayed and thought a little bit and get real intentional before I acted. Okay, Harry's on the line. What have you learned, Harry, about single and dating?
Oh, man. Well, I'm divorced. I was married for 12 years, and I've been single for 8.
Mm-hmm.
And dating is definitely different. Rules have changed, and turns out I don't know anything about dating anymore.
Well, how do you approach dating? How do you approach it now?
Very, very carefully. Very carefully. I'm definitely looking for somebody that I can spend the rest of my life with, and turns out not too many ladies are really interested in that anymore, it seems like. Seems like they, see what happens, and it's different than I expected.
Are you pursuing relationships, or do you just back off and just, you know, allow God to lead you, or what?
No, I am pursuing. I meet ladies, and a lot of times.
Where do you meet them?
I don't know, grocery store, laundromat, out to dinner. I eat out a lot because I am single, it's just easier to stop at a restaurant after work.
How important is it to you, Harry, that the person that you would date would share your faith and your values?
Oh, extremely important. Extremely important. First and foremost, I have to be a believer in Christ. I was married to a lady who does not believe in Christ, and was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. I should have never married her. I married her for all the wrong reasons. And I was not walking with Christ at the time. And, I found my way back several years ago. And it's really tough. A lot of the ladies at church are, usually with somebody or have been extremely hurt by somebody and are reluctant to get involved with anybody.
Well, we got a lot of hurting people. This is the time with a lot of hurting people. There's no question about that, Harry. I just accidentally hung up. Are you there, Harry? I think I hung up on Harry. I sure did. Sorry, Harry. Accidentally pushed the wrong button. But I was going to respond anyway because I'd heard what I needed to hear. So tell someone, call Harry, and so he didn't feel rejected here by me. All right, but let me just add this: if you're looking for the right thing, you got to go to the right place, and sometimes it's where we look. Not saying that you don't meet someone in a laundromat or at a grocery store or at a friend's house or whatever, that you meet somebody and God puts that together. But in the world in which we live today, to find someone who shares your values, on the same page, going in the same direction. And, of course, it gets to be slimmer pickings as you get older and life experiences. And it's not that we're looking to find the perfect person, but I'll tell you what, I think sometimes if we just back off in life, I have found in life, not in dating, because I, like I said, I've been married for over 40 years, but just in life, sometimes when we back off and we're not in such a pursuit mode, we're not in such a hunting mode, you know, we're just backing off and we're trusting God and we're waiting on Him, that all of a sudden it's like, wow, look what happened here. Something presented itself, an opportunity in terms of ministry opportunity or in terms of helping a person or in an idea. And I think this is true in dating as well. When we back off out of the pursuit, I think when we're in a pursuit mode of anything, we got to be really careful, because when you're pursuing something, sometimes you'll just take whatever comes along. When you get hungry, right? Think about it. There's a difference between saying, you know, I'm going to take my spouse out for Valentine's coming up in a couple of weeks, and you're not hungry when you're thinking about it, and you can really make a decision of where you want to go, as opposed to you're driving home, it's 4 p.m, you skip lunch and you're tired, grabbing anything seems like it's going to meet that need. Does that make sense? And I think that can happen as well in our relationships. Hope that helps, Harry. I just think being in places and trusting God to present the right person at the right time and going slow, man. 888-888-1717.
Hello, my name is Sarah, and I'm recently single, and I'm really happy that I am, because for once in my life, I feel like I'm connecting with who I am and connecting with my family more and increasing my love for not only myself, but for Jesus and the Lord. And it's one of the greatest experiences I've had, because I've always been accused of having a boyfriend and being fake happy and getting in these relationships because I truly wasn't accepting myself. And getting out of relationship and connecting a relationship with God has been the most, refreshing thing for me ever, because it's helped me realize that the love that the Lord has in me is enough and that I don't need to find it in someone else. And it's helping me accept myself. And anyway, once again, this is Sarah, and I just really enjoyed being single. Thank you. Bye.
There you go. Thank you. You're very welcome. Thank you for that call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Sharon, who's listening in somewhere in Arizona today. Sharon, welcome to Intentional Living Center.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Randy. Thank you so much. And I was just so glad to see that you had something for singles. But I've learned, not because I've made mistakes, it's because I watched everybody else make them at church. And my mom, you know, my mom's been married 4 times, and people,
wow,
you know, at my church, you know, they see a guy, you know, nice looking guy, and then, you know, they get into the relationship, and then the marriage, you know, they marry, and then it doesn't work, and then it just seems like a cycle at my church. But I agree with you. I just sit back and I watch and observe, and sometimes we get our emotions into it, and when we get our emotions into it and not God into it, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit back and I wait, and I wait on God. And I've been single for, you know, a really, really long time, and I just not have found Him. And I said, and I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. And so you're not in a hurry up mode. Do you think you wait too much? You think you lay back too much in terms of pursuing a relationship or being available? Or are you just really in a good space where you feel comfortable with where you are?
I am. I'm in a good space. I'm with a good space. Sometimes I think that, just what you just said, you know, did I just miss it? And I said, well, God, you know what? If I did, don't let me miss it next time. But I'm in a good place. I'm with God. I'm a good place. I'm happy, and it's all about God right now. So,
well,
that
ain't a bad place to be. That's for sure. Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate it. In Michigan, we go to Kathy with a comment question today. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What's your question or comment today?
Well, I got widowed when I was 50 years old, and I remembered from listening to the radio that one time they said, go through 2 seasons of dating before you really make a firm commitment with someone, because you really get to know about that person. Mm-hmm. And I've been dating for about 18 months, and what I've learned is after the first year, the infatuation wears off, and then you start to see the different family dynamics at holiday parties and different things and how the families interact and some of the behaviors in the different person. And I guess, you know, we're coming up on 2 years. I know being equally yoked is hugely important. My husband and I weren't in our first marriage, and I spent a lot of time at church alone, so I would highly suggest the listeners that they do that. But my question to you is, after 2 years and at this stage in the game, because it's so different when you're 50, I don't have a ton of red flags, but it's just, I guess because he's so different, it's hard to know if it's really the right thing to get married. You know, I know Christian beliefs and the people in our church, you know, want us to be married, or, you know, I know that's God's way.
Well, that's good for them, but they're not going home with you. They just think it's a good idea. Question
well,
is,
not paying my bills either.
That's right.
Now, Social Security at 60, I'll qualify for my husband's Social Security, but not if I'm married.
Well, here's the general philosophy, the general principle that I follow at Intentional Living. Whenever you have a yellow signal, it's certainly time to slow down. That's why they give us a warning light on the highway. The light comes on, it's yellow. It's stupid to go rushing through a yellow light that has turned red. And you see people rush through sometimes at the last minute, and sometimes they get whacked. At best, it's dangerous, and at worst, it could be fatal, and or you can hurt someone else. You know, it's just that's a danger time. I think you got to pass enough green lights in these dating relationship. And here's some of the green lights I think you have to get beyond before a person says I do. One is number one: would we be equally yoked? Are we on the same page spiritually? Do we share the same values? Not that we're perfect, but, you know, obviously we're on the same page. I think another green light you got to get through is, what's the dynamic of the family? The reality is, when you get married, you're going to have maybe kids, you're going to have other grandkids, you're going to have new in-laws. Is there enough support there that's going to help you keep this thing together? Or are you in agreement enough that if there are problems, you can stand together? I can't tell you the number of times I have seen Kathy, people with good intentions get married, and then the extended family destroy the relationship because the couple's not strong enough to weather that. I think you've got the real practical issues of, are we in agreement about such things as finances, about raising kids and grandkids, about our future goals, about how we spend our time, about our priorities, and so on and so on. And I think whenever you're racing along the highway of dating and you start getting a bunch of yellow lights you have to rush through, I think it's time to pull off and take a second look. It's a lot better to slow down, get good counseling, and make a decision than to say, well, I think it'll all work out later. Here's my experience. If I were to ask everybody to raise your hands that said you had a yellow flag or a red flag before you got married, that it, quote, all worked out later, I bet you very few hands would go up in our large audience. We got maybe hundreds of thousands of people listening. I bet you we could count them. As opposed to how many of you had a red flag or yellow flag that was pretty significant before you got married and it turned out to be a real problem. I think the auditorium of listeners around the world, we'd have hands up everywhere. You can raise your hand right where you are now as you're driving down the road, right? I see it. And so yellow is a good opportunity to slow down.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Yes, that's true, my friend. Kurt, thank you. We want to keep going here. We got lots of calls to get to. We'll try to get to a couple more here before we run out of time. Corey's on the line. Welcome to the program, Corey.
Hello.
What's your question today?
All right. So I've been with my boyfriend for about 2 years now. I just graduated from high school this past year, mm-hmm. and then my boyfriend is a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm currently at a community college, but he's going to be going off to a big university. And so his older brother was in a relationship with this girl for a long time, and they tried to make a long-distance relationship work, and it did not, and it actually failed pretty badly. But I do love this. I love this man, but I don't know if I should just let him go throughout his college experience, you know, as, you know, not dating, I guess, or if we should try to make it work.
Well, what does he want to do?
You know, that's a really good question. We haven't discussed it that much. I know that he has discussed that he's going to be leaving and that he's not going to text me as much, that sort of thing. But I'm just not really sure where to go with that because no one's really acted out on it.
Well, I think here's the situation, Corey. You guys aren't working off of the same expectations. There's not a sense of clarity. You're just young. You're just getting started in life. And I can tell you right now, from the time you graduate from high school until you get through a couple years of college, there's a lot of changes that happen in your life. And if the two of you are saying, hey, we want to continue to date and we want to make this, you know, the relationship between the two of us, but we're going to do it by long distance, then that's an agreement. And then you evaluate, you know, how are we doing after a year? Some of you may say, hey, let's just, you know, you go to college and I'm going to finish up school and let's stay in touch and see what happens. Of course, that changes the dynamic as well. But if you don't even know what his expectation may be about the relationship, that's where I would start. But the reality is you guys are going to be in different places in a year or two in your minds and your heart. Doesn't mean you're going to be apart. It's just going to be in a different place. And I think the opportunity to give yourself some time and prayer and pursuing God and pursuing what God has for each of you and do it in a way that doesn't make commitments that you really aren't going to keep, I think would be the wise thing. But if you don't even know what his expectations are and he's saying you're going to be texting less, is he giving you a signal of, hey, I'm leaving and I'm not sure what our relationship will be. Let's see. Is that kind of what you're reading from him?
Yeah, pretty much. It's all pretty much up in the air, which is why I was...
So he's not saying, oh, I love you, and I'm going off to college, but you're the girl for me, and I want to keep in touch, and I'm gonna be calling you every night and all of that. He's not doing that.
No, he hasn't.
Maybe the question to him is, what are your expectations? You're the one leaving. I'm here still in school. You're going to be going off to school. What is it you expect?
I mean,
are you a follower of Christ, Corey?
Oh, of course.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
So you're both on the same page spiritually.
In following Christ, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
and
we are.
Have you talked about the future, or is it just kind of an open, just a big open item out there?
Well, I mean, we've been together 2 years. We'd like to get married, but that said, there's still a lot of time. We still have like 4 or 5 plus years before we can even consider marriage.
Sure.
So, I mean, he's my best friend, and I, you know, I'm his best friend, and the idea of being so distant, it really hurts. However, I understand that in some cases, you really need that to flourish in,
you know,
in a relationship like that.
Corey, there's a little old ditty saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder. And if that's true and he's away and your hearts are really drawn back to each other and you really know God's in it, it's going to be pretty clear. If, on the other hand, he's gone and his heart isn't drawn back and there's new relationships and whatever, then you're going to know that as well. I think I'd say, hey, let's give this an opportunity and see what God teaches us through this process. That's what I do. Do I have time for another call? Thank you, Corey. Let me get Brooke on with a question. I'm running out of time. What's your question, Brooke?
Oh, me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it wasn't really a question, but it was, I guess you asked for like a rule, right?
Sure, right.
And so like I didn't know if like it had to be like something we personally experienced.
You're single and you date, right?
Yes.
Okay, what's the rule? What do you follow? How do you determine who you're going to date or not date?
Well, is that the question? Because I was like, if you're in a relationship, there's a rule.
Sure. Well, what's that? Okay. I'll take whatever you got, Brooke.
Okay. Well, mine is when you're in a relationship to like save yourself for marriage. This is for like also younger people too.
Yeah.
Because I'm 18, and I feel like people these days don't really save themselves, and I feel like it kind of distracts themselves from like their relationship, and they're too focused on like the lust part and not really getting to know them as a person. And I feel like you just got to save yourself for marriage and stuff.
Well, in my opinion, it's a very good rule for couples. And in God's view, it's his expectation. And I think it's hard to argue. I think it's a hard thing to argue that people who are genuinely saying we're going to get the relationship straight in terms of our relationship, our values, our beliefs, and that we're going to save ourselves until we get married for the sexual part. I think it's a hard argument to say, boy, that was the dumbest thing I ever did. But I've heard many other people say, we got this thing backward, and I went after the you know, there was the physical part and the physical relationship and the attraction and all that, and we didn't really pray through or think through our values and our beliefs and direction, and that blew up later on. And so I totally applaud what you said, Brooke. I think you're right on the beam, certainly biblical. I don't think you'll ever go wrong with that one. So congratulations for making that. Then that's a good rule. Good rule for both of you to live by, okay? We also believe that intentional living is a straightforward, easy-to-understand, biblical approach to life that results in transformation from the inside out. It leads to healed marriages, restored health, creativity, business growth, solved problems, and the elimination of debt. We believe that the words that we use here, family, your health, your finances, and your work, can become external evidence to an internal reality of the kind of growth that you're experiencing in your relationship with and your reliance upon Christ in your life. The world observes how our family operates, how we operate with our finances, the words that come out of our mouth, how we take care of our health. And these become the external evidence of an internal reality. That is an excerpt from the brand new, just recorded, in fact, a few days ago, teaching for this month of February on the topic of intentional living. And then I make this declarative statement, intentional living will change your life. And I believe that. Anybody want to argue? Anybody want to discuss that? Anyone say, hey, I think a good intentioned life or an unintentional life is a better way of going? Intentional living coming down to setting godly goals, developing the right actions into right habits, decluttering your life, and then enjoying and celebrating the goodness of God. I'll tell you, take that four process that we've laid out here, our intentional living process, it'll change your life. And I believe it. And whatever it is you're facing, getting intentional in your walk with Christ will radically change your life. Members, watch for this. It's being duplicated and packaged here and be coming your way later this month for all members. But I want you to know, as you share a gift this month, as you join in support of the ministry, you share the best gift you can with listener-supported intentional living and make that an ongoing monthly gift. In other words, becoming a monthly member, you too will receive this teaching this month on CD. Intentional Living Will Change Your Life. I encourage you right now to be intentional. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage there at theintentionallife.com. Starve for affection in your marriage? That's an upcoming topic real soon coming your way from Intentional Living. See you next time.